Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the second hour of the program. Looks like it might be a pretty good day out there. So, we've got a lot of people on hold, and that's my favorite part. And we've been talking about a lot of things, but primarily municipal finance and what the future looks like in terms of tax increases, Prop 2.5 overrides, which are a tax increase that we do to ourselves, layoffs, curtailment of benefits, all of that stuff. So I'm curious to hear what the people have to say. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Wonderful. Beautiful day out.
Yes.
So, and I don't mean this in any kind of bad way, but maybe it's time for a little bit of chaos.
Yeah.
No one's talking about the mismanagement and the fraud in the state. All they're doing is looking for another way to take more money.
Yep.
Obviously, there's plenty of money. I think until they figure out where that money went and where the money's going, or actually stop putting it where it's going, because we know where a lot of it went, that there's no more tax increases. There shouldn't be any talk of a 2.5 override. You should manage the money better. And if my personal budget went over and I was in that much debt and I went to a bank for a loan, they tell me to go pound tar.
Right.
And I think that's where we should be as far as constituents of this fine commonwealth with the 2.5 override. Thank you, sir.
Hey, thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. I happen to know that gentleman lives up in the Ward 1 area, which is, he doesn't have 5 state representatives, but there are 5 state representatives that represent Ward 1. Represent the city. I think 3 of them are in 5. There could be all 3. I think 3 of them are in Ward 1. Could be all 5. I know, for instance, Mark Sovia, who represents Fairhaven, Mattapoisett, Marion, but Rochester, Acushnet, also has a little part of Ward 1. Steve Olette from Westport, who has Freetown, little part of Freetown, little part of Fall River, also has part of Ward 1. Chris Hendricks, who represents the city of New Bedford, he doesn't have any communities now outside of the city, but he's got a little piece of Ward 1. The Dartmouth seat, currently represented by Chris Markey, who he's leaving. There's a primary going on for that on the Republican side and on the Democrat side. They have a little piece of Ward 1. So Ward 1 has got a lot of representation, but are they getting what they need? 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, I'm okay. I want you to educate me if you can.
Okay.
Inform me. I know in the towns, town meetings have a say on whether or not they override Proposition 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens here in New Bedford? Do the actual voters have a chance on this, or is it determined by the city council whether or not we override Proposition 2.5? Can you tell me?
Yes, that's a great question. So it's a two-part answer. First of all, the city council and the mayor would have to agree to put the question on the ballot. Then, the way the selectmen do here in Fairhaven, as an example. So the city council and the mayor would have to first put the question on the ballot. Then it would go to you ladies and gentlemen, the voters, not necessarily the taxpayers, but the voters of the city of New Bedford would weigh in on whether or not you wanted to raise the levy limit, which would allow the city to raise taxes on property owners. So you will get an opportunity.
Now, is that a binding?
Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
Referendum?
Oh yeah! No,
okay.
It's binding. Yeah.
Okay.
If it fails, they immediately begin the reconstruction of the government.
Okay. Okay. So in other words, the average voter in New Bedford would have a way of influencing the mayor and the city of council whether or not you have an override.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's good to know. All right. That's all I wanted to know. I just thought it was.
But let me ask you a question. What do you think? Keep in mind, I know you're a Fairhaven watcher. Fairhaven has turned it down. Recent past, they turned down the 2.5 override. They're coming back again. I'm very leery of whether it's going to pass. What do you think would happen in the city of New Bedford if the question was today to raise your taxes?
I know I would vote against it. That's
right.
all I would say.
right, right.
As far as Fairhaven goes, I'll tell you that, you know, there's a lot of people in Fairhaven now that are Johnny come latelys, as I was told years ago. and I know there's a few people that are no longer with us that would be rolling over in their graves if Fairhaven were to pass this thing.
Yes.
But I do know, and you like you always say to me, you know, so goes New Bedford, so goes the town.
Yep.
And I believe there's a movement in Fairhaven to also have a new fire station and police station. Am I right? Am I
there,
wrong?
There has been. There has been. I do not know. It's funny you say that. I was just thinking about it the other day. I don't know where that is in terms of plans. You know, we went through a lot of problems with the town administrator and the two-and-a-half override a couple of years ago. I think it may have been sort of shelved at that point, but I if anybody wants to text me or call in and tell us where the Public Safety Center conversation is in Fairhaven, I'd be happy to hear from anybody in the audience. But, yeah, what do you think about the new police headquarters? I don't see how you do without it.
I got to pay for it.
Yeah, you do.
That's the problem. And, again, I'm a retired person living on a pension with some small Social Security.
Yep.
Okay. And so, yes, I don't see how any old person can vote for any tax increase. I did at one time work a part-time job for about 17 years.
Yep.
But now my health no longer, you know, allows me to do that.
Sure.
So I can't vote for any. It's against my interest.
Yes.
You know, if you vote against your own interests, you got to be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So and even people like me who are in their homes. Luckily, I bought this home that I'm in now years ago on the advice of a kind person who was like a second mother to me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and so that stabilized me. But if this stuff keeps on going up and up and up and up, it's impossible for me at my age now to do anything about it. So that's a problem. Let's go back to Fairhaven.
Sure.
And we'll talk about Dartmouth, too. If I were a Fairhaven or a Dartmouth taxpayer, I would be asking my town officials, with all the growth that's gone along in the past years of my life on Route 6 in Fairhaven and in Dartmouth, where's the money gone? That's the big question I would have if I were you, Chris, being in Fairhaven. You know, when I had my, introduction to Fairhaven, Berendon Plaza was Berendon Farm. And a lot of those elderly people did not want to see that change into the economic area it's become. And it has. Okay? So, and then going down, moving north towards where Walmart is, that's been all developed. So where is all this money gone? That's what I would say to the, to the Fairhaven leadership and people, that sort of stuff. And same thing in Dartmouth. Route 6 has developed very much.
Oh, yeah.
So much so that I remember when I was a kid, I'd go out to Lincoln Park. It was like going out to the country, and there was an amusement park out there, and you'd, get on the Dodgems and everything and bumper cars, and now you got bumper cars in the city. But that's another point. Where's all this money gone? What have you done with it? So that's what I would be asking if I was a... And they say, I think it's true, as goes New Bedford, so goes the town. So
yeah.
If our taxes are going to go up, you're going to see your taxes go up too if you're not careful.
Thank you for the call, my friend. I watch when I have the opportunity the public meetings, obviously in the city of New Bedford, but in Fairhaven, other communities like that, the finance committee, they're going through the budget here in every community, really, and starting to make a budget. And so this will all be coming all out in the open soon. The city council's having meetings with the mayor. Those are educational meetings. I would call them kind of lobbying meetings. Every side is lobbying for what they think is the best decision. You know, there are other colleagues. They're lobbying the city councilors and the city councilors. Some of them are lobbying the mayor to move in certain directions and not other directions. And, it is a serious question. But again, I don't want to put it all on the state because obviously the municipalities have to decide what they're going to spend and not spend. But this reduction in state aid and the transfer of wealth from the taxpayers to the migrants, to the vendors who service the migrants, all in an effort to influence the ultimate census in a couple of years, is a diabolical plan, but very successful. All right, I got a bunch of people on hold if you want to join me. It's 508-996-0500. Very short break. We'll be right back.
Every day you can make money talk. This is your chance to win $1,000. 856-856. Enter it right now at WBSM.com or on the WBSM app for your chance to win cash on WBSM.
Boyer.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Welcome back to the program. I believe, I'm not sure, but I think that song was inspired after bringing those four wheels to Mack Auto Sales in New Bedford. Maybe not. Maybe Jackson Brown never did that. But Mack Auto Sales is a family-owned business in the city of New Bedford, right on Rivet Street, that repairs all makes and models of automobiles, including the one that you're driving right now. Need to get your car ready for the coming changing season? I'm sure you do. Call Mack Auto Sales and Repair and make an appointment today. 508-565-6221. They're open weekdays 9 to 5. You have a foreign car, that's perfect. Mack Auto Sales specializes in servicing foreign-made automobiles. Ask about their aftermarket accessories and their quality used cars for sale at Mack Auto Sales. Speaking of local government, municipal government, we're now joined here in the studio by my good friend Lenny Mills, Jr. at Rehoboth Selectmen. Lenny, you guys are working on your budget right now, right?
Yes, we are. And good morning to your audience.
Good morning.
South Coast Now, how are they doing?
Yep. Good.
Do they think I was late this morning, Chris?
No, no.
I mean, you should disclose that you had those conversations because I don't want them to think we were partying so hard I right. couldn't get out.
Lenny was, we were together last night. He was the chauffeur and the bodyguard, going from Chris Markey's party up to Ian Abreu's, and amazing turnouts at both of them, right?
But, yeah, absolutely amazing. Yeah. But to answer your question, I don't want your audience to think I'm avoiding. Yeah, we're in budget season, very serious business, right?
Yep.
People's money, you know, it's the taxpayers' money. Unlike when I run my business, my budget's very important because it's my money. You
right.
know? So, yeah, we're going to present another balanced budget this year, staying within the 2.5, and we're very proud of that.
Yes.
The budget in Rehoboth is the selectman's budget, though every department submits. We oversee it.
Mm-hmm.
We fine-tune it. We get the whip out and say we're not going in for that much money.
Sure.
We're going to try to modify that, or if we have to do it, department absolutely needs it, we find other departments where we can cut. So, yeah, we have some capital improvement items on there, you know, some things like some trucks, for example, for the highway department, and that'll go into capital. The people will vote. If they see there's a value and they want to do it, they'll vote and we'll get it. And if they don't see the value in that, we don't get it, and we continue to carry on.
For city people, what he's talking about is at the town meeting. The selectmen present the budget, but the town meeting is the ultimate legislature. They go up or down, and that's the way it is in Freetown. You have an open town meeting, right?
Yeah, we have an open town meeting, and you're exactly right, Chris, so your audience knows, is the people vote on that budget, which gives us our walking orders for
yep.
the next year, how to spend money. We can't spend money one penny without the town meeting voting and authorizing us to carry out their wishes.
508-996-05. We got Lenny Mills Jr. here. Tom Hodgson will join us a little bit later in the program. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Hey, Chris. Dan.
Hey, Dan LeBlanc. Hey. How are you, my friend?
I'm well, all things considered.
Yes.
one of your callers, I think, brought up something that's kind of a pet peeve with me, and I know you've got a collectman on the radio with you right now. But
yes, sir.
It's a pet peeve. My pet peeve is when we go, and you know I live in Freetown.
Yes.
When we go to the town meetings and people get up and talk about debt exclusions and overrides and all this, most of the people that get up and talk that I'm familiar with are not taxpayers. These are people that live in town.
Yep.
They could be renters. They could be adults who are living with their parents, but they don't pay the bill.
Right.
I pay the bill.
Yes, you do.
I listen to these people, and it kind of drives me crazy when I hear about these people who I know don't pay taxes, property taxes, in town. And they talk like they do, but they don't. And one of your callers brought that up, the distinction between voters and taxpayers.
Yes.
Everybody can vote, but it just drives me crazy when people get up and talk about how we should be spending money on this and spending money on that when it comes out of me.
Yes.
Not out of them.
That's an excellent point, Dan. That's Lenny Mills here commenting. We're on the same way as your town. And so, yeah, we experience that. It's frustrating. And, I'm a taxpayer in town. I lived in town 64 years. And as I watch that go on through the years, I get very frustrated, because they get up there, and a lot of times their personalities that get them to go up there, they're very strong personalities. Mm-hmm. So they try to have a large influence on the body. I don't know how it goes over in Freetown well, but I can tell you in Rehoboth, I always say on this show, Rehoboth people are hard to govern. So Rehoboth people are pretty sharp on what's going on. So if they agree on certain things, they want it coming from their own people. And they get up there and they voice their concern. They are not bashful in Rehoboth at all.
Nor in Freetown. So, Dan, go ahead.
And they get on Facebook and their texts, their mouths on Facebook and talk about issues. And we got one coming up, I just found out yesterday, June 8th, a debt exclusion. Now, can you explain to me what a debt exclusion is?
So, Dan, I know nothing about it, but I'll tell you overall. So are they looking to, I'm going to assume they're looking to build a building in town, maybe one of the schools, it can't be a new police station, but as an example, a debt exclusion is...
I can tell you, Chris.
Sure, go ahead.
I can tell you, Chris, exactly what it is. They want to build a new COA, which includes a new... there's two buildings. COA and, I think, a library. And it's right across from the elementary school. Again, they packed the last meeting with senior citizens who voted to buy the property across from the elementary school, and now they're looking for money to build the buildings.
Oh, boy. So what it means is for the length of the bonds, probably 20 years, you'll be paying higher property taxes.
So may I butt in here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so Dan, if you're looking for, I think it sounds like you're looking for a definition maybe between a debt exclusion and an override.
Right.
If I can.
Go ahead.
Yes, if I can. Definitely. Is that it? Is that it, sir? Yeah, okay.
Yes,
an override as a community, yours or mine or any of the other ones in the Commonwealth, you override it and that tax increase stays forever. Mm-hmm. If you do a debt exclusion, like Chris was pointing out, if it's a project for 20 years or 30 years, you pay it that term, just like our mortgage, and at the end of that, that comes off the taxes. You no longer pay it.
Right.
Yeah, and that's what we did with the police station, which the argument they have is, at the last meeting I went to, town meeting, was that the debt exclusion they did for the police station will be paid off. It's either a year or two. So they're looking to do another one for this building, for the COA, and I think it was the library. What we need, I may be wrong with the library. We need a new town hall is what we need.
Well, it's a good point, because the debt exclusion is specific for the item of which the town votes on, and when it's finally paid off, it comes off the tax bill. But you know, it can't stay there. There's no monkey in business. They can't keep it on and use right. it for something else. But they can come with other ones, and they don't have to wait to the end of this one either. Right. They, you know, they can keep coming forward with multiple ones throughout the term of it, you know. So, yeah, we have to be conscious and make sure that these are real needs, not wants, because taxation is very, you know, very burdensome to a lot of people. And if you don't need something, just like me in business, you know, why would you want to purchase it? You know, it's nice to have it, but if you don't need it and it's someone else's money, I'm not in favor of that stuff.
Dan.
And that's why we've got a lot of young children who are wanting to buy land and build houses in Freetown
yep.
and can't stay here because of the cost of staying in Freetown.
Yeah, I know. We're pressed all over the Commonwealth, but especially Freetown, Rehoboth, yeah. you know, communities like that, the land costs are so, I mean, that's been my business my whole life.
Right.
Land costs. I mean, when I started building
Thanks for the call,
in
Dan.
The early 80s, Dan, yep. a lot in Rehoboth was going for like $12,000, literally a house buildable lot, a good lot.
Right.
Not a,
How
not,
big is that? How big is that?
So in Rehoboth, we have zoning now for 200-foot frontage.
Yep.
An acre, 1.377 acres, which is 60,000 square feet. And so today that same lot is over $250,000. And here's the caveat to it, Chris, and Dan I know is listening. He's going to pick right up on this. It's all the regulations on top of it that drive the cost so high.
Yep.
Like, for example, in Rehoboth, you know, we have a lot of legitimate things. Like, we have wells everywhere, so we don't have any water at all.
Yep.
And so we're... Anything with septic system and water health things, we're 25% more increase than what the Commonwealth has. So, for example, a septic system, a new one installed by the Commonwealth has to be 4 feet above a water table.
Okay.
And Rehoboth, it has to be 5 feet. So we have these regulations that drive the cost off. And some of them are good, mm-hmm. like that one. But some of the other regulations, and then you get into building the house and you have all the regulations, and the cost just becomes... It's just so much money to buy a house for young people today. Start a home, I mean, you're talking, what, $750,000, $850,000?
Right.
Who ever heard of that? Oh, my goodness, you know?
We were with John Ferreira last night, another Rehoboth guy, and I had him in last year, maybe the year before, talking about that, starter homes, and that's when he said they're about $800,000.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible. And the new building codes, the legislature passed, they have no idea what they passed. The fact that you got to put an electric car charger in a lot of these homes.
Yeah, you got to comply with all of those things, yeah. I mean, it's just astronomical, you know, the cost today. But what are we going to do, right?
508-996-0. Kind of open phones if it's on your mind, but we are talking about municipal finance and the potential for Proposition 2.5 overrides, tax increases, but also in a lot of communities, it's going to be layoffs as well. It's going to be potentially decreased in benefits. Some people have the potential to actually lose their job or have their health care costs increase while at the same time having their taxes go up. I mean, there's a lot of people in that situation. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning. Hey, I've been listening to you, and this is insanity. And we all know the definition of insanity. It's doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Yep. We keep voting in Democrats, and this keeps happening. It's like people got to wake up. This is stupidity. That we need to make a change. Put it this way, we already know what Democrats can do. They've been doing it to us for so long. We need to clean house, and not just one here or there. We need to just, everybody needs to vote Republican to get these Democrat idiots out of office because they're robbing us blind. And it's crazy that somebody would even consider a 2.5 override instead of a debt exclusion, because you know once you give them the money, they're going to find another place to put it once they're done paying the debt that they have. It's nuts. So, but one of the things that I'm looking at here is, why are we not going after our community money? The lottery money, the profit from the lottery, was supposed to be going back to communities.
Correct.
Is it still going back to communities?
So the mayor, in fact, the mayor was talking about it yesterday. He was here at 9 o'clock on Thursday. There's a podcast of it. He was saying that they merged a lot of those funding formulas, including the lottery, into a change, number of years ago now. So it's the lottery distribution is not the way it used to be. But I know what you're talking about.
Well, and you know what? If they're going to change those rules, why don't we change the rules? And it seems like the only way we can govern in Massachusetts where the people can actually have a voice is by doing a ballot question.
Right.
So let's do a ballot question, get rid of the darned lottery. Because if they're going to steal that money and send it somewhere else, why should we keep allowing it? Because the only way they could sell it to us originally is, oh, all this money is going to go back to the community. We're going to help the community. Now they're robbing us of that money and they're saying it's not going back to the community. Let's say do a tax cut and actually take away the lottery and say, screw you guys, we're not going to do this anymore. Stop cleaning up your act.
Yeah, and I think Chris...
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I think Chris, your caller, you know, he's hopping mad and rightfully so, and he represents a lot of people in the Commonwealth. But would you agree that's why we're pushing this time? Because we have such a good candidate in Mike Minogue this time.
Absolutely.
We have a real opportunity to make changes. Where through the years, maybe we didn't have that good of candidate and the times weren't right. And
right.
So it's almost like a perfect storm. It's boiled up to where it is. People are frustrated. And we really have a good candidate. We're not just going to vote for an alternative candidate that's mediocre.
Right.
But doesn't have an appetite to listen to us and make changes. So what do you think about that?
I think you're 100% right. And he's been all over the Commonwealth. You've met with him. I've met with him. Courtesy of Tom Hodgson, but a lot of people in the audience have met with Mike Minogue. He's extraordinarily impressive, and they're going to figure that out within the Republican Party. I think there's going to end up having to be a primary, and that's the process. I think Brian Shortsleeve has got the funding. I think he's got the message to take it all the way to September with Sean Oliver going with him, and then they'll meet in September, and then we'll have a very short period of time. But I know, as you do, as everybody does, Mike Minogue has the most resources to spread his message all throughout the Commonwealth.
Yeah, and he has a lot of experience, and he knows what has to be done, and he's not afraid to do it. He's putting it right out there.
Right.
As he's running now, he's putting it right out there.
508-996-0500. Full lines. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hello.
Good morning, sir.
The call before me stole my thunder. I was all about that. Mm-hmm. We really got to hold our elected representatives' feet to the fire about getting the money back to the towns and back. You know, we're getting robbed blind. A lot of little towns like Acushnet, we can't afford all these taxes or whatnot. We have no industry in Acushnet.
Right.
And you know, we depended on that. And it's getting robbed, and our taxes are going to be going up. They want to build Old Colony again. That guy keeps coming back. He wants to keep putting it on the ballot. Now they're going to put it on the ballot. I think it's June 20th on a Saturday. You know, they're hoping everybody's on vacation so they can slip it through.
Right.
We're getting pretty much raked over the coals all over the little towns, and we got to hold our representatives' feet to the fire. They got to get their money back. They got to get the money back to the towns. Either that, or we got to vote them out. It's one or the other. We're in tough shape.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one point I'd like to mention, because you're bringing up a very, very valid point. In Rehoboth, I'm elected as a selectman by the people, and I'm elected on the planning board. It's not an appointed position. It's elected. And all the challenges that we have in our community that the people are upset right now and have been for the last 4 or 5 years are all mandates from the state.
Right.
MBTA, adjacent community. The auxiliary homes, right? The solar, the battery storage, it's all mandated by the state.
Right.
It's all the state is a sovereign and has passed it down. And we on a local level, they apply to us, and our citizens come all upset, and we're trying to educate them that we have very little, if anything, to do with controlling it. You know, we can make sure, like with solar, they abide by the bylaws, and we look for screening and stuff like that to try to, you know, make it visibly not, an eyesore, you know.
Right.
But we can't stop those things. The planning boards can't stop that. The state's done it. And the people don't realize it till it's in their backyard, and they're mad at us, and which is, I'm not complaining they're mad at us. What I'm saying is just what your callers, the last two callers are saying, we have got to get out there on a state level and stop voting against these people and get some change in here.
508-996-0500. We got full phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Morning, Chris. It's Sam. How are you?
Hey, Sam. Long time no talk. How you been?
I know. I'm always listening. And, Lenny, you're a great addition to the program. I love listening to you.
Thank you for your kind words, Sam.
I used to call in and joke about being Chris's unofficial co-host.
That's right.
since when he started. But
yes.
We kind of dropped that. But anyway, Chris, I want to know, and Lenny, I'd like your input on this. Recently, I've been living in Fairhaven 50 years out of my 65 or 55 out of 65 years of life. Recently got my water bill. It used to be semi-annual. The rate was like $2.88 for the first 2,200 cubic feet, and then it would jump up to four something. This thing with this bill, the notice is that, and also the water meter fee was $50 per 6 months. So $100 a year. This notice with a little blue paper in, with the bill says that they're going to change the quarterly billing.
Yep.
Quarterly billing is going to be $50 per meter rental, stopped at $50, depending on your size, per quarter now. So that means the meter fees doubled over the course of a year. And that the rate, instead of it being 2250 cubic feet, 100 cubic feet, it's going to drop down to 1125. So they're dropping the rate down, I suppose, anticipating that in a quarter of the year you won't use get to that second stage of water use, but they've cut that in half. So now, and that rate now is going to be 377, and after you pass the 1125, it goes to $7.77 from 1125 to the 2250, which used to be under the first 377. And I know that's a lot of numbers, but I haven't heard anything about this on the radio, and I just think that I had no clue that this was happening. And I got to be honest, I don't watch the TV stuff, the meetings, I don't follow it, but I just think that this stuff, when they make changes like that, should be more public. I mean, they're basically just making a change. They changed the rate, they changed the fee on the meter rental, and they changed when the rate changes from 377 to 777. And I just need to know how does that happen without any input?
Well, there would have been a public. Now, I didn't pay much attention to it like you. I mean, I try to pay attention as much as possible. There would have had to have been a public hearing to change those fees and to change those different standards. There would have had to have been a public hearing by the Board of Public Works. That's my thinking, is it's Board of Public Works. I could be entirely, right. But we got a lot of really bright people in the audience, Sam, that can help us out with that. But it is, and sometimes depending on where you live in Fairhaven, the water's brown nowadays. It's been crazy.
Well, you know, and then the sewer rate on top of that is $14 per 100 cubic feet of water usage. I mean, so if you were one of those people that put in a separate meter,
yep.
Now you're getting tagged twice per year, four times per year on the meter fee. So, you know, you're defeating the purpose of having that meter to so that you don't have to pay sewer. So I can't even put in a garden this year because I can't afford that. I mean, this fee has just gone crazy. If you could really look into this, Chris, because I know you got a bill,
yeah.
But I did the same thing. It's on a blue piece of paper, and it's not in the main thing. It's on a little, like, just like they gave you a little notice. Oh, by the way, starting next quarter, you bill quarterly, and it's $50 per quarter for your meter rental. And the rate is cutting in half where the increase that happens. You're only going to be able to use $11.25 before you start paying $7.77 per 100 cubic feet.
Sam, and thanks for the call. Makes you glad you don't have municipal water and sewer, right?
Yeah,
right now, Rehoboth?
It does make, you know, it does. But you got to empathize with these
people.
Oh, my
God.
Because we feel it with we see what's going on with the electric, right?
Right.
Chris, I know you do.
Yeah.
I know you feel it. And so, this is the problem, right? They have these hearings and meetings, and we have them in Rehoboth, but people don't pay attention to them.
Right.
And here's what gets their attention. When the bill comes,
right.
Unfortunately, that doesn't mean they're bad people. That doesn't mean they don't care about their community.
Right.
But unfortunately, that's when it comes. And then now we're faced with it. And so on a state level, it's even worse. Like, where were these hearings? Everyone's wondering about solar.
Right.
And adjacent cities and towns and stuff like that. But they're there. They're the law of the commonwealth
yep.
now. And we can't move them. And that's very, very frustrating. And this idea that these simple things, I always joke when we played Monopoly as kids. Remember,
yep.
Nobody wanted the utilities, right?
Nobody
wanted the railroads. They weren't worth much. But These are big money items. These are formidable things that people have to budget in their day-to-day budgets to run a household. It's a lot of money for electricity,
yes.
A lot of money for heating and cooling, and it is a lot of money for water and sewage. It's a big strain on a family's budget.
If you're on hold, stay there. We got relatively full phone lines. The break is going to be very short. We'll be back more with Lenny Mills Jr. and you, the callers. This hour is brought to you by the cold beer and the world's best chicken wings at Rose Alley Ale House in downtown New Bedford. Great day to sit on the deck at Rose Alley. We'll be right back.
This portion of programming on WBSM brought to you by South Coast Health. Advanced medicine, more care. Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500. Welcome
back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. We're joined by Lenny Mills Jr., Selectman in Rehoboth. We're taking your phone calls at 508-996-0500. Phone lines are jammed. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Good morning, Chris and Lenny. Lenny, I love listening to you. You sound like a man with a lot of common sense, good old-fashioned common sense.
Oh, thank you again for your kind words. Yep. I'm sorry I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Oh, no problem. But you are so right. The problem with all these towns is the mandates that are coming from the state, primarily from Ms. Maura Healey. So, I mean, if we want to change our towns, we need to change the people running the state. And one of the big problems is the green communities. Is Rehoboth a member of the green community?
Yes, we are, which impacts, like Chris was mentioning, it impacts the housing business unbelievable because we have very little commercial and even less industrial.
Well, I recommend in the town of Rochester where I live, we pulled out of that. And I'll tell you why we pulled out of it. It was a self-serving reason because a couple of the select board wanted to add on and they did not want to have to put electric charging stations and comply with the stretch code. So they pulled out, which was a fabulous thing. So I, recommend working on that and maybe seeing if you can pull up because it does make building a new home miserable with all those ridiculous codes.
Yeah,
so,
it's a real undue,
that's a huge problem.
It's a real undue stress on homeowners to pay those fees. I mean, it's very difficult. And it's built in finance, so it's compound over a 30-year mortgage.
Right.
I mean, you start putting the numbers to this, it's really, really stressful on people, and they don't even realize, It's like after
what
a while.
Go ahead. Yeah, it's insane. Like everything else that comes from the state. But, having well water and having a septic system is, in a way, a blessing because you don't have to pay those outrageous sewer rates, the water rates like other towns have to. But we have got to change things, at the top because if we're going to change anything in our pot, keep more money in our wallet, we have got to get rid of this administration. And people, I met two people yesterday, one at the gas pump and somebody at Savers, and we were not Savers, at Kohl's, and we were talking about the state. And I said, vote Republican. When November comes around, vote Republican if you want to change the state. And they are both on board. So, I'm spreading the word, and I'm, trying to put this idea in people's head, and make sure you vote, and make sure you vote Republican if you want change, if you don't like what's going on. Only we can change it. So I recommend you look into getting out of that green community. You'd be doing all your residents a huge favor. You might miss, some grants, but I'm sure we're living without them.
Rochester.
And, here's the funny thing, right? You got to let me share this with you because you're helping me out here. We submit to the green plan, right? And so we literally submit. I just did at the police station to replace 10 HVAC systems, right?
Okay.
And we were eligible to get them, $500,000, but we can't get them because we're ineligible because we're not compliance with MBTA adjacent city. Isn't it the craziest thing in the world, right?
It's bribery. Rhode Island used to be considered the most corrupt state, but I'll tell you, Massachusetts has
Lenny knows.
Rhode Island tenfold.
Yeah.
True. I'm telling you, think about what they do to you. They're bribing you. That should be against the law. There's so much they do that should be illegal, but nobody does anything. Do you think that Andrea Campbell's going to do anything against the administration? She's thick as thieves with them, you know? So it's time for us to start, like you say, hold their feet to the fire and say, damn it, we've had it. We're done. You're out. We're voting you out. You're gone. Unless you do what's in the best interest of this state and taxpayers, you're never going to get elected. Don't waste your time. And we really have to start getting tough in this state to make some changes. But Lenny, keep up the good work. I hope I get to meet you someday.
Thanks for the call.
That was very kind.
You have a comment about Rhode Island?
Yeah, I wouldn't say about Rhode Island. You know, I get blustery now and then, though everybody thinks I'm calm. And I know my family's laughing out here listening to this. But look, the way the government is working with us the last 15 to 20 years is, you might as well do business with Uncle Vinny.
Right.
You get a better deal.
Right.
And you can do it on a handshake. You don't got to hire lawyers to put it together. And look, there's a book out there. I think I shared it with you because I read it. And I think
Mafia State.
Yeah. It's by Michael Franchese, who was a big-time mafia person. And he goes into describing how the government just wiped out the mafia, which was a good thing. And yet they took on all their tactics to leverage all of us.
Right.
And that's what they do. They've taken on those tactics. Now, I'm explaining it very simple, but the book puts it very eloquently and describes it. I don't want to bore your audience, but in every way, shape, and form, it's like a shakedown on these things, you know? And we're caught in that catch-22 in Rehoboth with that $500,000 I need at the police station, you know?
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. If you're on hold, stay there. We got Lenny Mills Jr. here. We joined a little while by Tom Hodgson. This will be a very short minute break. Stick around. We'll be right back. Back to the program. We're going to go right back to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris. Gilly Sacchiola.
Good morning,
Lenny.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
You're not boring me with your story about what you just said.
Yeah, enough's enough, right? Enough is enough. And Franchese lays it right out there. The government's in the same business as what the mafia was doing.
Why I called is because about the mayor trying to get all this money to build new police stations, like two or three more buildings. He's going to find the money for that. But how can he do that? Why doesn't he find some money for the police department that they don't have a contract over a year and a half? He can find money for them. So this way, when they build those buildings, they'll have police officers to put in them. Because the way you laugh at that.
Well, I mean,
it's a good point. You know, it's called common sense. There ain't much of that left.
Well, anymore. I have a lot of common sense, and Chris knows that. But the bottom line is, he hasn't even connected with the union, police union. Don't you think he should at least talk to the union?
I'm hearing, Gilly, they may have come to an agreement, but we've been hearing that for a while, years now, right?
Yeah, but you understand what I'm saying, though, right?
Find the money
for the police officers where they go to work every day and they don't get the respect they deserve. Thank you.
Yeah, because
thanks, Gilly. Thanks for the call.
In my business and in the business I do for the town of Rehoboth, the most valuable asset is not a building. It's not a truck.
Right.
It's people.
Yes.
People are the most valuable asset of any business, any municipality, any organization.
Yep.
And when you lose sight of that, and I don't know the details over here in New Bedford,
right,
but when you lose sight of that, you got a ship without a rudder.
508-996-0500. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Hi, good morning.
Hello.
This morning I went by a group that works for the city. There was five men in the police just standing talking. I went home. I read hour later, they were in the same position. I'm sure those people, they don't make $15 and $20 an hour. So the city should look into it and make sure they don't spend the money that they don't have it. The city is full of, the street is full of holes. Why don't they make them, fix them up? Thank you.
No, thanks for the call. Lenny, any more leaning on the shovel, smoking a cigarette out there in Rehoboth? Ended that.
Yeah, I ran, two selectmen resigned, and then I ran with Rob Johnson, and I said, no longer I was assigned the highway department. I formed the building maintenance department, mm-hmm. a whole new superintendent department. I'm in charge of the police department and the building, zoning, electrical, plumbing department. I have the two largest budgets for the town of Rehoboth. No longer under my watch, and I mean this strongly, yes. my watch, my liaisonships, we hiring a young person, somebody's son or something, can't get a job, doesn't want to work, or right. somebody's uncle that's ready to retire, lost their job, don't want to work. There's no more leaning on shovels. No right. more. Not at all. Not in